You are listening to the Proof Producers Podcast, where we reach the world with the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to experience a never-ending increase in every area of life. If you're ready for a revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here is your host, Pastor Augustine Mpemba Jr.
Tonight's message is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Say the revelation of Jesus Christ. One more time, say the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I have a chance to talk to young people because this isn't necessarily a regular Sunday service or a regular Wednesday service. Doesn't make sense? This is what I would call a training service or an equipping service. Does it make sense? So we're not going to go the conventional route, rather, right? I am endeavoring to give you something. Say, give you something. Yes. As I preach and I teach, my goal is to impart something into your life. Amen? So as you're coming here, develop a culture. Right? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Yes. Develop a culture of taking notes. Say this out to me. Say, my pen and paper are smarter than my mind. Right? So develop a culture. Oh, your phone. I said pen and paper. I'm old school. But, oh, your phone. Take notes. Take notes and then take time between now and tomorrow to review those notes. The Word of God, the Bible says in the book of the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, it says the sower sowed the word, right? Some fell on good ground, some stony ground, some bad ground. And those that fell on bad ground, what happened? They died. They were gone. Those that fell on good ground, they produced what? Fruit. So the disciples asked Jesus, explain that parable. And he said, the sower sows the word, right? And then some fell on the good ground of the heart, right? And some others didn't understand it, right? So that was taken away. And then some others understood it, right? But it didn't take root in them. And the enemy came and what? Took it away. So don't make a religious habit of coming to church and listening to things without taking notes. Does it make sense? Because God can speak to you something while I'm preaching or while we're worshiping, and that could be the key to your next level, the key to your breakthrough, the key to your advancement. But because you're so, you know, religious about things, you didn't capture that moment. Does it make sense? Are you listening to me? Hello?
Yes.
Hi? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So develop a culture of taking notes, and that will bless you. Your pen and paper are smarter than your brain. So we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Open our Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Who's excited? Who's ready to learn for the next 45 minutes? Who's ready to hear the word of God? I'm excited. I was telling Wisdom in the lobby. He said, tonight's message is exciting. Hallelujah. I said Acts, right? I said Acts 8. Okay, I thought I said John. All right, Acts 8. From verse number 4. It said, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Say, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Say, preach Christ. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preach Christ. I'll go read it from the New Living. It says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news. Say good news. Of Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example. In other words, Philip is a good example. It says, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who were paralyzed or lamed were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. Are you glad God has called us? And wherever you go and preach him, he confirms his words with miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. And we leave that place, when we leave, is full of joy. Hallelujah. The Bible says Philip went to Samaria and he preached, say Christ.
Christ.
Say it one more time, say Christ.
Christ.
One more time, say Christ.
Christ.
Say Christ like you had peace and wings. Say Christ.
Christ.
For those who didn't have peace and wings, it's okay. We had peace and wings right before the service. So he went there and preached. Number one, Philip, for example, went to Samaria. Number one, say go.
Go.
Very important. Very important. Go. Pastor, how do I take over a campus? Go.
Yes.
Pastor, how do I see people healed? Go. Pastor, how do I see people's lives transformed? Go. Philip, for example, went to Samaria. Number one, go. Say, I'll go.
I'll go.
Yes. I'll go. I'll go to that workplace and do what God has called me to do. I'll go to my business place and do what God has called me to do. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm not. You shouldn't be ashamed. Go. Matt, you're going where next week? Go, yes. You don't feel ready? Whatever. Go. Philip went to Samaria. He went. He did. He took the first step. So the story says the journey of a long distance starts with what?
One step at a time. One step at a time. There's no need to rush.
Go. You gotta go. If God's gonna use you, you have to go. You have to break from fear. Break from self. What's it called? You self-degrade yourself. You tell yourself, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. Yeah, that person can do it better. He can go. You tell yourself, I can't do it. I don't know what to say. Get rid of that. You know, once you hit, I don't know, we have a different demographic. Once you hit 25, there's no excuse about life. I'm just telling you the truth. Does that make sense? Get busy and go. You know, I'm from a city called Tulsa. This might hurt. I don't know. I know they might be listening to me. But people have been there for, they went there to, I know people who've gone to Bible school for 10 years. Bible school for 10 years? What kind of training is that? Fear. Comfort. America is full of comfort. But he didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to go and preach the gospel. He called us to announce the good news. He called us to tell the sick you can be healed. To tell the lost you can find Jesus and find purpose. He called us to open the prison doors. To open the blind eyes. To unstop dead ears. He called us for that purpose. It was so important to him. It was so important to Jesus. He said, as the Father sent me. The Father sent Jesus from heaven. You know that song? You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross. My death to pray. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. You came from heaven to earth. Isaiah chapter number 6. Who will go for us? God is looking for men and women who will go. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ. Why won't you go? Oh, I have a job. I have a 9-to-5. Why don't you go? I'm still in school. I gotta finish my career. Why won't you go? I'm not ready. I'm still in Bible school, you know. Hey, that time, let me tell you something. Let me open your eyes today. Let me stir you unto good works today. There's no time, oh. There's no time. Last year, I did two funerals. I went to two funerals of two young men who were under 25 years old. You know what that does to you? When you stand in front of a casket and see someone who's your age, who's gone, and you're telling yourself there's time? There's no time. Life, the Bible says in the book of James, is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. There's no time. You have to go. There's only a few things you can carry with you to when you die. And souls is one of those things. Can't carry your car or your man. You can't carry your job. You can't carry your PNC bank account. Or your Robin Hood trading account. Or your Bank of America checkings and savings account. You can't carry that with you. You can't carry your business. But you can carry good works and souls. Hallelujah. So what's more important? But to work for God. What's more important than to give your life in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Philip, for example, went to Samaria. So you gotta go. Say go.
Go.
So he went. And the Bible says when he got to Samaria, he preached Christ. That's our message today. Talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Philip went to Samaria, he preached Christ. Ooh, what a... It would take maybe 100 years maybe to scratch the surface of that statement. Oh, yes. To scratch. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 24. Are you ready to learn?
Yes.
All right. Luke chapter number 24. I'll read from verse number 28. Well, let me read a little further. What was it further? Let's read from verse 13. It says, the title there is called The Road to Emmaus. This is the time when Jesus had died, right? And then he had resurrected. And then he had encountered a few of his disciples who were on their way to a city called Emmaus. So on the road to that city. Now, you'll see what's going to happen, right? Are you going to follow with me?
Yes.
All right, verse 13 says, now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So they were talking about Jesus who had just died. There was commotion in the city. Verse number 15. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself, hallelujah, drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you talk and are so sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Think about this. Just imagine. I want you to imagine with me. Go into this story with me. right? Jesus dies. There's commotion in the city. Some people were for him, some people were against him, right? So the news has been spread abroad. Jesus, the third day, resurrects and appears on the road with these guys who are talking about him. Then he asks him, what are you guys talking? Why are you sad? What are you guys talking about? Just, you know, but they didn't recognize him. The Bible says their eyes were closed, right? So they said, are you a stranger? Have you not heard? In other words, this thing is like big news in the city. Are you a stranger and you're not aware what's going on? Then he said, where am I? 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Oh, I like Jesus. He's amazing. What things? Like he doesn't know, you know? So they said unto him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and words before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had only seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. You remember this story? Is it clicking? Are you following me?
Yes.
Are you following?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to believe that you're following. All right? And certain of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as a woman has said, but him they did not find and see. In other words, hey, they're narrating what's going on. It says that there were like ladies here. Remember Mary? Mary and Martha? Right? Who ran to the tomb? We just had Passover, guys. You should know this story. Right? They ran to the tomb and an angel appeared to him. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Right? But they didn't see the body of Jesus. So they're telling Jesus the story about what just happened to him. And he's just listening, you know? I love Jesus. He was humorous. He was a funny guy. Where am I? 24. And a certain of those women who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but him did they not see. Verse 25. And they said to them, listen to this. Listen. This is Jesus talking now. Listen. He says, all foolish ones. It's not a good thing when Jesus calls you foolish. It's hard to overturn that, right? All foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Oh, hallelujah. What a statement. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Listen carefully. Are you with me? Verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Did you hear that? Beginning from Moses, which means Moses there is Moshe Bereshit, because he's talking about the Torah, the five books of the Torah, right? Bereshit is Genesis. Beginning from Genesis, that's what he means. Right, the five books of Moses are what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and what? So he's saying, beginning from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the prophets, the book of the prophets. Because the Old Testament is separated into two books. What? Moses, the Torah, and what? And the prophets. So he says, beginning from the old, basically saying, and Jesus talked about himself from the Old Testament. Are you listening to me? He showed them, oh my gosh. That's why I say Christ is something that will take years to explain. He says he showed them about himself from all the Old Testament. Are you following me? Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
It's clicking? We're learning, right? Are we learning something? All right. Acts chapter number 2. Let's go to the book of Acts. I read from verse number 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make all your enemies thy footstool. Therefore, listen to this, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and what? Both Lord and what? Philip went to Samaria and preached what? God has made Jesus both what? Lord and what? Who is Christ? Who is Christ? Christ means the anointed one. Christ means, it's a prophetic picture of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, there was a prophecy, right? Once the children of Israel went into captivity, there was a prophecy that there will be a man from among you whom God will raise. He will be your king. He will be a just king and a righteous king. He will be anointed of God to deliver you from all bondage. When he comes, you will receive freedom from all the oppression. Are you following me? So the Bible, when he said from Moses, or from Genesis, let's put it that way, right? From Genesis and the prophets, he talked about himself, what he was doing. He was revealing the Christ. This is one of the most exciting, I'm telling, because we'll see it. We'll see it in a couple minutes. You'll know why I'm trying to pace myself. It's so exciting. In other words, John chapter number 5. Hallelujah. John 5, are you there? Let's go to verse number 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time. This is speaking God the Father. Jesus saying, he testified of me. You have never heard his voice at any time. No sin is form, but you do not have his word abiding you, because whom he sent, him do you not believe. In other words, I can tell you don't believe in him because he sent me and you guys don't believe in me. Verse 39 says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Oh, hallelujah. He was talking to the Jews and the Pharisees, right? He was telling them, you guys are searching the scriptures, right? What scriptures are those? The Torah, the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament at that time. He says, you guys search those scriptures, hoping to find eternal life. But you don't know that these scriptures you guys are looking at testify of me. In other words, the Old Testament is about Jesus. Are you hearing me? We're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That entire book. Don't believe no one telling you we have to refute the Old Testament. Lies. Jesus himself said that book testifies of me. It talks about me. Everything in it is about me. Hello. I said hello. Hello. Verse 40. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Hallelujah. So we learn that the book, the Old Testament is a testimony of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? All right. The Bible is a hymn book. Are you hearing me? The Bible is a hymn book. I don't mean hymns. H-I-M, thank you. H-I, not H-Y-M-N-S, right? Hymns book. H-I-M. The Bible is a hymn book. It testifies of him. The central message of the Bible is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God who in old times spoke to our fathers by the prophets, right? Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has made heir of all things and by whom he has appointed the entire earth. He has spoken to us by his Son. The Bible is a hymn book. The Old Testament were prophecies about him. The Gospels, are you writing this? The Old Testament were prophecies about him. The Gospels were a manifestation about him or of him. The epistles were an announcement about him. The book of Revelation was an announcement about him again, his second coming. The entire Bible is about Jesus Christ. Are you following me? It's about him. All those stories we're about to get in is about to get really nice. Amen. All those stories in the Bible, they're about Jesus. You might wonder how, why. Don't worry, we'll see in a few seconds. Amen. The Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. Are you following me? That Old Testament that you see is Christ in a hidden form. He's concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. John chapter number 14. Philip. Jesus says, I'm going to my Father. He says, what are you talking about? He says, show us the Father that he may satisfy us. What was Jesus' response? He that has seen the Father, seen me, has seen the Father. Christ revealed. God in the flesh revealed. Are you following me? So, we're going to look a little bit. Colossians chapter number 2. I love the young adults. You guys sit down and listen and learn. That's amazing. That's amazing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So let no one judge. Please have this. Are they up?
Yes.
Awesome. Who's working up there today? Yes, they deserve a hand clap. Thank you, Pastor Kofi. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding festivals, or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. He says, but the substance is of Christ. Ooh, kataba egebesh. Let no one judge you concerning things of the past. So he's talking to this church. He's telling, hey, forget about those ordinances of the past. Right? He's telling them, hey, those who are a shadow. If you see my shadow, that means, if you see a shadow of something, that means that person is there.
Right.
He's close by. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
If I walk and you see a shadow, that means I'm there.
Right.
It has to be a shadow of something.
Right.
Are you following me? Let no one judge you of those things which are a shadow of things to come. Go back. Yeah, go forward, I guess. which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance, those things in the Old Testament were shadows, but the substance, the person of those shadows is Christ. Are you hearing me? Is Christ. We're talking about the revelation of Christ. I want to show you what Philip was preaching when he went to Samaria. I was thinking about this. The Lord came to me at 2 in the morning yesterday, randomly, and brought the scripture. Who is Christ? What was Philip preaching? What do we go out, when we go out and preach, what is our message? Right? We're going to see it. We're going to see it. So those things in the Old Testament, those practices were shadows. For example, the Sabbath. Where did the Sabbath come from? It came from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1, when God was creating the earth. He says he created things for 5 days. 6th day he created man. Does it make sense? 6th day he created what? Man. 7th day he rested. That's where Sabbath means rest. He rested. So God's 6th day, oh hallelujah. God's 6th day was man's 1st day. Are you following? God's 7th day, or the Sabbath, was man's 2nd day. Oh hallelujah. In other words, when man showed up, all the works were finished. When Christ shows up, all works are finished. Are you following me? You can sense the atmosphere starting to. When he shows up, all the works are finished. The Bible says, they that have entered into his rest have ceased from their struggles. That's why this is the message. When we preach to them, he says, come as you are. Come. He's finished the work for you. Hallelujah. The price has been paid. Come and enter his rest. So the Sabbath, they condemned him because he healed in the Sabbath. You know what his response was? He says, am I not the Lord of the Sabbath? In other words, this Sabbath thing you guys are all messed up about, it's me. Yes. Hallelujah. So those who enter, when we come into Christ, we've ceased from our struggles. He's finished. Man's 2nd day was God's day of rest. We're starting to open up the book of Genesis, right? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 6, the story of Noah. The Bible, when you know the Bible, long to know truth. This is, you remember, the Bible says that from the book of Moses, that's how he puts it, right? Right? And all the prophets, he expounded unto them things concerning himself. So this is what Paul was preaching. Hey. When Paul showed up, or when Philip went to Samaria, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. He wrote those books later on. Doesn't make sense? When the first church came or was birthed at Pentecost, these books were not there. We're so privileged to have these books. They give us better understanding. So when they went out to preach, this is the type of stuff they were showing people. That's why this stuff is amazingly powerful. Because they had no reference of, I can do all things through Christ. Doesn't make sense? They didn't know if any man be in Christ is a new creation. Doesn't make sense? All they knew was, who will believe our reports? Or the Lord said to that's what the scripture that they quoted in Acts chapter number 2. They were quoting Psalms, Isaiah, Elijah, Job. That's what the Genesis, Exodus, they were quoting those things. Are we learning something?
Yes.
Are we following?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So he preached Christ unto them. So I said, man's second day was God's day of rest and Sabbath, correct? Seventh day. Are you following? So in like manner, when we come into Christ, we come into the finished works of Christ. Are you following me? So I said, let's talk about Genesis chapter number 6. The story of Noah. Noah, a righteous man. Right? Calls people. Though, and gives them a message from God. Trouble is coming. Does it make sense? He says, hey. And he says, those who chose to believe Noah. Oh. Those who chose to enter into the what? The ark. Those who believe and entered into the ark were saved. Those who refused to believe. Right? And stayed and they were doing their own thing. Were damned and they died. They were destroyed. Isn't that similar to what the Bible says in John chapter 16? For God so loved the world and gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world but the world through him. 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those who believe are saved. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. He has entered the ark of safety. If any man be in Christ, he's found safety. So the story of Noah was really a story of Christ. The ark was a type of Christ where people would come, go in and find safety. When the day of judgment, like it was the day of judgment because God was judging him. When the floods came as judgment. When the day of judgment comes, those who are found in him are safe from judgment. Those who are found in there. So Jesus, the Christ, was the ark of Noah. And those who believed in him and entered into him by one spirit, are we baptized into one body? Find safety and refuge. Wow. God was telling a story about himself from the very beginning. He was telling a story about his son who would come and be the place of refuge. And whosoever believes it, that's what the Bible says, whosoever believes in him will not be condemned. That's what we tell them when we go outside. We tell them, whosoever believes in this Jesus will not be condemned, but have everlasting life. Those people who came there, they came with newness of life. They came out with the life of God. When the whole world was judged and condemned, they found life because they were in that boat. They were in that ark, which is a type of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what we tell them. Come into the ark. Hey, college campus, come into the ark. Oh, yes. There's no safety outside. There's a judgment coming. There's a flood coming. And no man will survive. Come into the ark and find safety. Hallelujah. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about, I'm going to stay in Genesis. I think I'll stay in Genesis. There's so much How many books are in the Old Testament? She said a lot. Good answer. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. 39? Is it 39? 27. Good Bible school student. 39. Each having thousands of revelations of Christ. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 3. This thing is about Jesus, I'm telling you. Oh, the best-selling book in the world is about Jesus. Everything about it is about Jesus. Genesis chapter number 3. Do you love the word of God?
Yes.
This Genesis chapter number 3 is what they call proto-angelion, the first gospel, the first representation of the gospel in the scriptures. Does it make sense? Genesis chapter 3. Where God speaks, and you can, if you look at it carefully, you will see the gospel in it. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 3. It says, to the woman, he said, this is God, right? Once Eve had eaten the apple and Adam had eaten the apple, this is God saying, this is God speaking to Eve and to the serpent. He says, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Hey, this is God speaking. All those who are under the feminist movement, did you read that? It's sad. I was watching a YouTube video yesterday. I don't know how I knew. I just looked at a girl. It was like a love story thing. It just popped up on my YouTube. And I looked at it, and I looked at the girl, and I could tell she's feminist. I don't know how I could tell. I could just say, and when she started speaking, I was like, ugh. She's 22 years old. Sad. But look at what the Bible says. We can do nothing against the truth. So, for those who are married, this will help you. For those who are not married, I'm talking to the ladies, this will help you too. Guys, I have something for you too, so chill. I'm coming. Amen. It says, in pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Verse 17. Let's go up a little bit. I went beyond what I wanted to say. Let's go to 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than all the beasts of the field. And your belly shall, in your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, there's the gospel right there. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the gospel. God was preaching the gospel right there. Do you see it?
Yes.
Now listen to this. I'll put enmity between you and the woman. A woman symbolic of human, a human being. Enmity between Satan and human beings. Satan is always jealous. There's always opposition against human beings. The thief came not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm come that you might have what? Life in abundance. There's enmity between the human race and Satan. The devil wants you sick. God wants you well. The devil wants to destroy you. But it's God who wants you well. It was preached right there. Right? And between your seed, right? The serpent's seed and her seed. Okay. Who went to school and studied biology? Come on, guys. High school biology? He tried. He didn't last long. But we know that it is the man who carries the seed. Does that make sense? It is the man who carried the seed. The woman doesn't carry a seed. But this was the gospel preached. God was saying, hey, A woman will produce a seed without the agency of a man. Virgin birth right there. Are you seeing it? In other words, hey, I'll do something and it will be by the seed of the woman. And we know it wasn't just the woman. It says the power of the highest shall, how shall, Mary said, how shall these things be? He said, don't worry, the power of the highest shall overshadow you and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you and you shall conceive a seed. Miraculously, the gospel, proto-angelion, the first representation of the gospel. Are we learning? We're in class for a few minutes, right? Hallelujah. The scriptures testify of me. That's what Jesus said. They're about me. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, the story of Abraham. Abraham is praying for a child, can't have a child. Miraculously, God provides, gives him a child. And then one day, God just wakes up and says, hey, Abraham, give me that child whom you love. Bring him up. I want him as a sacrifice. Go offer him up as a sacrifice. And we know the story. He goes up. There's so many symbolism in the scripture. Even that. He goes up to the mountain, and he's ready to sacrifice his own son. Like gone. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 53 that it pleased the father to bruise his son. Just like Abraham was sacrificing his son. But you know, while he was about to sacrifice, there was a lamb caught in the thicket. Right? And Abraham, instead of that, you know, God spoke to Abraham, don't do that, stop. And God provided himself a lamb, right? Isn't that what we read in the book of John, chapter number 3? When John the Baptist saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. That lamb was symbolic that God will provide for himself a sacrifice. A sacrifice. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Does that make sense? Are you following me? So Jesus is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the sins of the world. So in Genesis, we see him as the Lamb of God. We see him as God's plan for the salvation of humanity. Our message, our preaching is so significant. Number one, because we are testifying about God's eternal plan for salvation for human beings. Are you listening to me? That's why Paul was bold, because I'm not ashamed. I cannot be ashamed. This is the only message that can bring salvation to people. Are you hearing me? He said, I'm not ashamed because I carry a message that is able to save all human beings. So I don't know what excuse you have. Oh, I'm too busy. You know, I'm a pastor, so I work with people. So I hear excuses. And sometimes in my mind, I'm like, oh, Lord. Can I show you something? A little bit diversion. Acts chapter 20. I think this is important. Acts chapter 20. I think I read this in class for the students. Praise God. You know, when you come into salvation, you come into the ark. But the ark, in the ark, there is a military school. Hello? We're not called to, yes, there is benefits for salvation, but we're called, the Bible says, we're called as soldiers enlisted in an army. Are you following me? In other words, if you have that mentality, you have something that's driving you that's beyond. I pray God would give this to us. A passion for the gospel that goes beyond what we just say, that becomes the central unit, our drive, our engine, our driving force. I pray that God will give you a passion for the gospel. That everything, not have the gospel as something in your life, that will become the central thing that drives your life. I pray that God will give you that. So that when the gospel becomes a central thing, when you're at work, you're not ashamed to share the gospel. It's like, does it make sense? When you're talking to your friends, you're not ashamed to talk about Jesus. Because everything in your life revolves around the advancement of that message. Are you following me? Let me show you something. Acts chapter number 20. I'll read from verse 17. The Bible says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called all the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia. This is Paul speaking. Are you following me? First day I came to Asia, in what manner I lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Say house to house. You know, that's where the house-to-house evangelism started from. No, that's the truth. Verse 21, testifying. So I told you from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Verse 24. This is Paul giving his last remarks. He's saying, hey, I'm going back to Jerusalem. Right? But what's crazy is, this is my version of the Bible. He's saying, hey, what's crazy is, every city that I went to, the Holy Spirit was testifying about my tribulation, my suffering. Are you following me? In fact, if you read further up, in that same city he was, there was a prophet called Agabus. And the Bible says that prophet came when they were gathering like this, took Paul's jacket, put it around himself, and started prophesying. He says, to whom this jacket belongs, he will suffer many things. So it was, doesn't make sense. It was something that Paul was experiencing. Verse 24. So he's saying, he says, I go bound in the Spirit, 22, right? To Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. That's what I want to... Hey! None of these things move me. None of these things move me. He knows he's going to... None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Say, none of these things move me. I'm going through something in life. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. That's the problem. So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Look at how focused this man was. See, I know I'm going to suffer many things. The Holy Spirit has been saying it everywhere I'm going. I'm fully aware of what's going to happen. But none of these things move me. I have a calling. Say, I have a calling. I have a calling. To testify of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. That I may fulfill my ministry with joy. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, raise from among us people who are so sold out to the gospel. That when I go to campus and someone tells me something, none of these things move me. I don't care. I don't belong to you. I have a mission and a message that I must fulfill. I don't care. Bible school students, get that in your spirit. Get it in early. I don't care where God says I'm going. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. You guys know about those, they call them Facebook memories. Anybody ever had those? And you saw a post that you posted 2012. And at the time you thought you were so smart, you know, and eloquent, you know. She's laughing. You know, or a picture that you posted, right? It's funny. I saw one a couple of weeks ago. And it's funny, I'm sure I didn't come up with this. I'm almost 100% sure I didn't. I saw it and I was like, I wasn't that smart at that time. That wasn't me. But I saw a statement, you know, back in the day when Facebook came out, you were posting quotes, you know, like, you know, you're almost like, and you're feeling yourself, I'm smart and everything. I posted a quote that said, in the journey of life, you realize that the only hindrance to fulfilling the call of God in your life is yourself. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. I was telling the young people, last week we were here, and you could tell people were like frustrated because we were worshiping until 10. Hey, what are you going to do? Like, what? You're going home to do what? Some of the Bible school students, something should be keeping you up at night. You're just getting started in life. Why are you acting like you figure this whole thing out? You're just getting started in ministry. Jeez. I'm young. I wish God would give me, would rewind me 10 years. I wish I started when I was like 8. There's so much. But you know the problem is we count our life dear to ourselves. We love comfort. But look at Paul. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. You know that scripture says, we overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. And what? You know, we stop there, right? We usually stop there. You know the next part of that? Nor did we count our life dear to ourselves. So we overcome by not counting our life dear to ourselves. We don't. You sleep at 10, you're 22. Pick up a book. Yes. Do some research. Yes. Stay up looking. Yes. Pray. Yes. Do a course. Yes. Do something. Yes. Are you hearing me? No excuse. Young people, no excuse. We're not called to be, hey, maybe that's why God brought me here. American comfort is why people are the way they are. Why people don't see God move in their lives. He asks people to, and that's why, let me give context to what maybe is happening. It's been happening the last couple of weeks. I'm training you, even in worship, to learn how to get lost in God. Does it make sense? Not the two songs, and I wasn't even concentrating, and I made no contact. Doesn't make sense? And then now we're worshiping for 40 minutes, and you're getting uncomfortable because your flesh has never been trained. Hey, warriors, not counting my life dear to myself. I'm here on a mission. I was sent, oh, hallelujah. He said, you're not of this world. I was sent from somewhere. I have a message. I have a calling, like Paul said, I have a calling to fulfill. I can't be lazy. I can't be comfortable. I can't count my life dear to myself. Oh, I can't do this because I don't have time. What's that? You make time. Yeah, yeah. I'm tired. What? Now, don't mistake me. I understand that concept of rest. I get it. Sometimes you have to take a day to just crash. But once you're done with that, get moving. Hallelujah. Raina Bonke said, God moves with what? The movers. He doesn't sit with the sitters. Get moving. Catch a vision from God. Oh, Lord, you've put me in this business. I'm here. What's your purpose for me to be here? Well, you know, I'll share this with you. When I came to Pittsburgh, I was on the phone with my dad and I told him what happened. And African fathers, Jesus Christ. He just a little bit, he congratulated me just a little bit. Like it was like 3 seconds of congratulations. Then he said to me, so why are you there? I don't know. I just, you know. But that's what he asked me. Why have you discovered why you're there? He said, take time to discover that. Because just like in life and everywhere God puts you, you're there for a purpose. Hallelujah. And you have to be a success where God puts you. Right? If you're in school, you can be a success in school. Not just academically, but a success for God as well. If you're in business, you can achieve success for God. Are you listening to me? So that's why God called you. What's my purpose? Catch a vision for God and get moving. Catch a vision from God and get what? Get moving. Hallelujah. None of these things move me. I'm coming back to my book. Are you learning something?
Yes.
All right. A couple more minutes to finish. So we'll stay in. I think I'll take time, maybe the next session, to just talk about the revelation of. There's so much. We're still in Genesis chapter number 6. We moved ahead to Genesis 22. The story of Joseph. Say Joseph. This is probably one of the best stories in the Bible that depicts the Christ. Amen? Joseph, number one, was loved by his father. Beloved of his father. Jesus is what? Loved by his father. Jesus actually said at a certain point, he says, the father loves the son and he shows him all things. Right? His brothers, Joseph's brothers, were jealous of him. They didn't like him. Jesus' natural brothers didn't like him. His father, Joseph's father, gave him a coat of what? Many colors. God the Father gave Jesus a coat of many colors. He was known as an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a rabbi. He was a shepherd, a pastor. He was the great evangelist. He went about all the place doing good. A coat of many colors. Hallelujah. Joseph was sent by his father to his brothers. Jesus was sent by his fathers to his people. The people that intended evil for Joseph were the people he was sent to save. The people that intended evil for Jesus were the people he was sent to save. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Oh, should I continue? Okay. Let me think. Joseph was betrayed by a man called Judah. Jesus was betrayed by what? Judas. Joseph while he was in a dungeon, he was kindred with two people. One who was a believer and one who was a doubter. Jesus on the cross was kindred with two people. One who was a believer, who believed, and one who doubted. Joseph, after the dungeon, symbolic of the cross of Christ, he was made what? Prime minister and ruler over a nation. Jesus, after his death, he was made what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down, in things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Joseph, when he was raised to become prime minister, Pharaoh said, I give you power and authority over all the people, all the land. Only I will have power over you. Symbolic of God the Father. I give you power and authority over everything. Only I will have power over you. So the story of Joseph wasn't really a story of Joseph. Are you seeing it? It was really a story of who? Jesus. It was a revelation of the Christ. Hallelujah. Genesis, we see Christ. Exodus, we see Christ. We see him as the Passover lamb, right? The lamb that was slain. And by the blood of that lamb, right? The angel that came, the angel of death, passed over all those who had that blood upon them. Jesus was that lamb that was slain. And those who have his blood have been washed by his blood. The angel of death passes over them. Destruction passes over them. Hallelujah. We go further. Genesis, Exodus, and what? Leviticus. He's seen as the high priest in Leviticus. Oh, this is one of my favorite ones. The high priest. The Bible talks about in the New Testament. Oh, in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about how that the Ark of the Covenant, right? The tent of meeting, right? The Ark of the, where the covenant was, had three allocations, right? Where a priest, oh, hallelujah. Can I go in there? That yearly there had to be, atonement had to be made for sins, the sins of the nation. And what would happen is there would be the lamb of sacrifice. Then there would be such a thing called the scapegoat lamb. Are you listening? And the high priest would lay his hands on the scapegoat lamb and confess the sins of the nation on that lamb, that goat, scapegoat. Are you listening? And then that scapegoat will be led to go into the wilderness. Oh, just like Jesus, when they had confessed all their sins upon him and made him the sacrifice, he was led to Golgotha in the wilderness. So there was a scapegoat, and then there was also the lamb of sacrifice, where the Bible says that the high priest would take the blood of that lamb and go into the Holy of Holies to a place called a mercy seat that had angels upon it. And he would sprinkle the blood. Hallelujah. He would sprinkle the blood. He actually had to sprinkle the blood on himself first to make atonement for his sins first. And then he would sprinkle the blood on the people. In the same way the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus took his blood when he died and he went into the true ark of God in heaven, the ark of the covenant, and he sprinkled the blood for atonement for the sins of the world, sins past, sins present, sins that in the future, that the nation will be free from all their sins. He's the high priest. Hallelujah. He's the high priest. And therefore, that's what the Bible says, now let us come boldly. He has made a way. The Bible says that he entered once into the ark and made a way for all of us to come. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. That was because of the high priest. So when you saw the high priest in the Old Testament, you thought it was just a story, these religious rituals. No, 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 no. He was telling you, hey, one day there'll come a high priest who will have eternal access to God, who will lead us. He wouldn't just leave us outside. Oh, hallelujah. He'd take us by his hand and walk us into the Holy of Holies to be with God. He was the high priest. He was the lamb that was slain. His blood was sprinkled for the atonement of sins. He made atonement for sins. He also made what we call in the Bible remission of all sins. Through this man is preached, one of my favorite scriptures, Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Through this man is preached the remission of sin. And all who believe in him are justified from the things which they cannot be justified from the law of Moses. The remission, the blotting away. Oh, hallelujah. His blood would blot away all sin. He's a high priest. He's the lamb that was slain. Right? His blood, the blood that was shed, the blood of the lamb. He is his blood that was shed for our the remission of our sin. He's also the, I know this is class, so I'm throwing big words. But I'll explain. If you listen carefully, you understand. He is also the mercy seat. What does that mean? It means the mercy seat was the place where the priest, the high priest, would come and sprinkle the blood. It was a designated place. Are you listening? Where the blood would sprinkle. And the Bible says that God would receive the sacrifice and the voice of God would come from the mercy seat. Are you listening? So Jesus is also that mercy seat. What does that mean? It means at the mercy seat, the wrath of God, because the blood was sprinkled there, right? The blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Mercy seat. Blood will be sprinkled here. I can't figure it out. Okay. The blood will be sprinkled here, right? And the wrath of God, because God is a just God. Are you listening to me? His mercy doesn't cancel his justice. So, at the place where the mercy seat was, they say it's a mercy, there'll be blood on top of it. The wrath of God will be satisfied at that place. Are you listening? Yes. So, in other words, the Bible says, Jesus is that mercy seat. In other words, Jesus is the place now, not just a person. He's the place where that wrath of God would be satisfied. That's why the Bible says that it pleased God to bruise him. His body, the Bible says, on the cross, God had punished him. He was that place. Oh. Are you hearing it? We're talking about the revelation of Jesus. That he was the place where the wrath of God for all sin will be satisfied. That's that word in the Bible you read is called propitiation. It's called the place of appeasement, the place where the wrath of God will be justified. Does that make sense? So Jesus, oh, look at this story. Look at the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, hallelujah. He is the scapegoat where all the sins are confessed, and he goes away to die in the wilderness. At the same time, he is the Lamb of God that was slain, and his blood is taken by the high priest. But he is the high priest who takes his own blood into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Who stands in front of the mercy seat, the place where the wrath of God is appeased. But he is also the mercy seat. And his blood is poured on the mercy seat. And the wrath of God for all sin is justified. The payment for sin is, hallelujah. That's our Jesus. And then now, the path has been cleared. No more ordinances. Now you walk straight that into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Now you can say, Heavenly Father. That's why I say we receive the spirit of adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father. Jesus made that way. We have full access. He says, now come boldly, come boldly. Know what just happened. Come boldly. A price was paid for this. You see what you're experiencing now? The presence of God. A price was paid for that. That price was the price of his son. That Old Testament tabernacle was really Christ revealed. Hallelujah. You go further in the scriptures. You see the story of the children of Israel, who at a certain point in the wilderness, snakes would come, serpents. Oh, barato paridas. Thank you, Jesus. Serpents, symbolic of Satan, would come and bite them and they die. And they cry out to Moses. And God speaks to Moses. He says, Moses, create create another serpent in the form of brass and lift him up so that when they are bitten with that snake, let them look. When they look at that brazen serpent, they'll be healed. Serpent is symbolic of Satan. The serpent is symbolic of sin. And then he says, create another serpent. The Bible says on the cross, he was made sin for us. And it says, lift him up. When they look, they'll be healed. In other words, when Jesus was lifted up, now when we look at the cross, we are healed from that sickness. We are healed from the sin. Jesus. It says, you search the scriptures thinking that you find eternal life, but you don't come to me. Those scriptures testify of me. Oh, yes. It's all about him. Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. So we see in the scriptures. Should we go a little bit further? 10 minutes? Are you being blessed? You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, you know, because he said, verse 8, can we read it? Are you learning something tonight? Do you love Jesus? Isn't he amazing? Now you're learning, you get to learn who he is, what he's done for you. Paul said in Philippians 3 verse, this always happens, I have to read the whole chapter, but I'll avoid from doing that. Verse 7 says, but what things that were gained to me, these I counted for the loss. These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him. Everything doesn't matter. You see, I am a young adult pastor. I'm a young person. When I make these statements, I'm not refuting the importance of learning, of education. Are you listening to me? I'm not refuting the importance of getting trained. I'm just trying to show you that outside of Jesus Christ, life is meaningless. Does that make sense? He said in John chapter 15, verse 7, without me, you are nothing. You can do nothing. Does that make sense? So imagine someone like Paul, if you read earlier, he says he was trained under the greatest sect. He had the best education in his time. He says, these things I've counted as dung, poop, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, right? Not by works, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith that comes to him. In other words, now that I've come to him, I'm not working to become righteous, to become better. Because he has, remember what we talked about, Genesis chapter number, what was it? Chapter 6, Noah, right? That they didn't have to do anything. All they had to do is be in the ark. Does that make sense? So Paul is saying the same thing, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith in Christ Jesus, that I may know him. Hey, what are you doing at night? Know him. So, what? Know him. Some of you, this is like new stuff to you, right? You're like, this was in the Bible? Yes. Know him. The Bible says that grace and peace, the grace of God and the peace of God is multiplied in your life through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? When you know him and you understand, the grace of God is added to your life. The influence of God is added to your life. This has happened to me. I'll share it and I'll ask you if it happened to me. It has happened to me and I had to train myself to get back to it. There was a time where the presence of God was, I'd be doing the weirdest of things and I would sense. Anybody ever had that experience? You weren't thinking about it. It's like the Holy Ghost just came and just hugged you like that. And then there's a time where that experience wasn't happening. But you know why? My eyes went astray. The more I look at him, the Bible says, we also, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God as in a glass. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, when we look at him, we are changed. When we search the scriptures like we've done today, and we look at him, we are changed into that same image. You want your life to change? You want your character to change? You want your behavior to change? Hey, take time to look at him. Here. See him. See how he held your hand and walked you into the Holy of Holies. See how that he was the Lamb. When you see, he says, when you behold that, you are changed. You're not trying to change. It's a reflection principle. You are changed to be like him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, develop a hunger to know him. Paul counted everything as dung. What I'm sharing with you tonight will either position you to be used of God in the end time. I'm telling you, it's the truth. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the reason for our faith. Does that make sense? We're talking about the Son of God, who's the very essence of what we believe. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So the more we know him, the more we grow. Today was a little bit meaty, but I want to, like what Paul said, compel you. Hey, there's more. There's more. You can know God. You can know him. You can know him. He can be your friend. You can know him. Does that make sense? You can know him. Let no one lie to you. And the more you know him, the more confident you are to tell people about him. So when you don't know, it's hard to explain things. It's hard to tell people. But the more you know him, the more you can share. So you're being prepared to go out to share. When Philip went, remember we started the first thing we read? Philip went to Samaria. When he got there, he preached Christ unto them. Hallelujah. So I want you to know him. Tonight, I want you to know him. I want you to leave here knowing him. One last scripture. One last scripture. Colossians chapter 1. We'll close from this. Like really close, not like the preacher close. Listen, you know, Paul taught the Bible for 12 hours. They were in a Sunday service. He taught the Bible for 12 hours. A famous AG, Assemblies of God preacher, lady preacher, one of the best ones that ever lived. Her name was Hattie Hammond, right? She met with T.L. Osborne and told T.L., how can we exhaust the living word? There's no way. She was so mesmerized. How can we, you can read the same scripture 100 times and new life coming out of it every time. Verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with might. Verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us, hallelujah, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I like that. Now listen to that. The Son of his love. So the subject here is Jesus, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood. Are you listening to me? Verse 15. So the subject is still who? He is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things, hey, who's the subject? Jesus. By Jesus, all things, say all things, were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, the things which are visible, that you can see, the things which are invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, say all things. All things were created through him and for him. Hey, are you with me? All things. And he is before all things. In other words, he's prime. He's number one. And in him all things consist. Can I tell you something about that scripture? I read that scripture when I was in college in America. I was studying chemistry. I think it was my sophomore year, so I think most of you have done Chem 101, 102. You had to do that, right? And they were teaching about, I hope I don't lose people here because some people don't like science. I like science. They were teaching about the atom, right? Oh, she's a chemistry major, so you confirm, right? She's doing her PhD in chemistry, right? They were teaching about, so she'll, I have to think about what I say. They were teaching about the atom, and I think it's the protons, neutrons, and electrons, right? Positive, negative, and neutral forces. And how between different molecules, they had something called intermolecular forces. Am I right? Right? I'm trending, right? So they had something called intermolecular forces, which are the forces that hold molecules together. You see, sometimes you see the Bible from how you are trained. So he said, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Are you listening? In other words, in Christ, all all molecules, they hold together. Everything that's visible is sustained by him. He is the intermolecular force that holds everything in existence together. Make sense? That blew my mind. Are you seeing it? All molecules everywhere. He is the force that sustains everything. Hebrews chapter 1 says he holds all things by the word of his power. In other words, in Genesis, when he spoke, that word held everything, held the sun right exactly at the right distance. Because if it moves any closer, we're gone. Does that make sense? If it moves any further, we're gone. His word is the force that keeps it exactly where it is. He keeps your skin together. He's the intermolecular forces are everywhere, right? I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh. Jesus sustains all things. All things were created for him and by him and through him. Let's continue finishing it. Right? It says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, which is the church, right? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, you see, this is the reason why he's like this. That in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, in all things, Jesus, let me put it another way, that both creation, right, human beings, and everything in existence owes Jesus something. That's what it means to be preeminent. He's head and above all things. He's supreme ruler over all things. Are you listening to me? So we're learning to know him, who is the supreme over all things. You see, when you understand this, when you meet a devil, when you pray for someone in Jesus' name, that name is preeminent over all things. Does that make sense? Where the Bible says that, okay, I said that was my last scripture, so. Okay. Amen. Can you rise to your feet? No, it's rise to your feet. No, the word of God is like honey. You can talk about Jesus for now till tomorrow. Is he preeminent in your life? Is he head over all things in your life? Is he? He's amazing. Paul said, unto me, who am the least of all the apostles, was this grace given unto me, that I may make all men see the riches that are in Christ. Hallelujah. Christianity is not a boring religion. It's not a boring story about a man who came and died. No, 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 no. Christianity is not for the weak and for the religious. No. Christianity hinges upon a man called Jesus Christ, the God-man. Hallelujah. And we come to him, and our lives are never changed. When we hook up with him, our lives can never remain the same. Amen. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. That in him, it says, that he might have preeminence over everything. He has to be preeminent in your life. If you want to see his blessing, if you want to see his touch, if you want to see Jesus impact your life like he's impacted the lives of so many people, he has to be preeminent. Amen. What does preeminent need? He has to be your Lord. He has to be king. He has to be the number one over your life. Hallelujah.
To get daily teaching from Augustine and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Proof Producers podcast. By partnering with Proof Producers, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, visit us online at augustinempemba.com. Thank you for your prayer and financial support.